My name's David. I'm the with Alison, my wife, who is probably served you coffee. Oh, she's outside. She and I are the senior pastors here, and you're very welcome. It's great to see you, especially if it's a first time or you're a visitor. First of all, anybody feeling particularly despicable? Let's just watch a little clip of a famous movie, just to illustrate how adults behave with children.
As you can see, I have provided everything a child might need. All right. Okay. As I was saying... Hey! Oh!
Somebody broke that.
Okay. Clearly, we need to set some rules. Rule number one. You will not touch anything.
What about the floor?
Yes, you may touch the floor.
What about the air?
Yes, you may touch the air.
What about this?
Ah! Where did you get that?
Found it.
Okay, rule number two, you will not bother me while I'm working. Rule number three, you will not cry, or whine, or laugh, or giggle, or sneeze, or burp, or fart. So, no annoying sounds, right?
Does this count as annoying?
Very.
So, that's one way of dealing with children. What was Gru's way? He was trying to set rules, wasn't he? And are they good rules? Any of them good rules? Not disturbing me when I'm working. I tried that one. What do you think Gru saw when he saw children? That's a rhetorical question. Some of you will have studied this in depth many times, no doubt, watching that film. But what did he see? And we're just finishing off a series at the moment, which has been look left, look right, look around you. And we've been thinking about being aware of each other, being aware of the neighbors around us, how to make friends, how not to put comparisons between us. And we're finishing off this series by saying, look left, look right, look around you, and see the children. See the children. I'm not sure Gru saw children at all. And let's see how Jesus dealt with it, shall we? If you want to find in your Bibles or your gadgets or the pew Bibles or whatever, Mark chapter 9, it'll be up on the screen behind me in a moment. Not quite yet. Can we go back a screen? Thank you. It'll be up on the screen behind me, and I'll read it through, but you can follow it in your Bibles as well using the NIV. This is just, there are a couple of stories of Jesus. There's lots of stories about Jesus and children in the Bible. And here are a couple which produce a similar theme. They're different stories. It's not the same story. And I just want you to watch the atmosphere when children get into the mix and what Jesus does about it. Okay? So, Mark chapter 9, this is one of the biographies about Jesus. And it says this: sitting down, Jesus called the 12, hi Amy, and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. And he took a little child, whom he placed among them, and taking the child in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Chapter 9, verse 35. If you turn to the page to chapter 10, verse 13 to 16, another story. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. Got rid of them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms and he placed his hands on them. And he blessed them. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you for today and for the chance to worship together. Thank you for your presence with us as we worshiped just a bit ago. We just want to lift to you the life of this church and say thank you for it. Thank you for the money that people give week in, week out to enable it to do what you called us to do. We want to lift up, particularly thinking about children, we want to lift up Josiah. Many of us know Josiah Mungaro in Mexico, who's a very, very unwell, small baby, just born. And Lord, we ask you to go to him right now, and we pray for your healing hand to be on him in hospital, that you will restore him, that you will do some miraculous work in his heart. Would you bring your healing to him? We pray for Libby and Ivan as they grapple with this challenge of this premature baby. Would you give them your courage and strength and confidence that your hand is on this? We ask you to be there. We pray that you be with us as we think about children here, and we ask for your presence amongst us. Amen. Hi, Reuben. This is Reuben. Reuben's really in charge around here. Do you want to come up here? Yeah, this is all about adults and children today, so it's very good illustration. Thank you. Buttons. Come on, come up here. No? Okay, don't. So we had Gru trying to control the children with rules, particular types of rules. And then we have politicians. You know, we just had the election. Did anybody see a picture of a politician with a child? No? Just me? There were lots of them. Why do they do that? Do they think it helps their electoral prospects? Why do they want to be associated in that sort of rather set-up way? And then you have Jesus and the way he deals with children. And he's very different indeed. And what is he trying to do? I think there's a couple of things going on when children come into the front like this, or when Jesus was doing his thing and the disciples were trying to keep the kids away. It's fairly standard, and I think there's two things going on. One is, there are children around, they will distract us and they will disrupt us, and we won't get on with doing the things that really need to be done. That's one of our sort of default responses. I can't do the important stuff because they're going to distract me. And I think that was in the buzz of what was going on when Jesus was talking, and he was doing his miracles and stuff, and the disciples were thinking, oh, that's really important stuff. That's him. Keep the kids away. The other thing that I think was going on is that there's a sense that being around Jesus must have been amazing, because he was saying amazing things, just spoke into people's hearts. He was healing people. He was walking on water. He was making food for everybody. It was all miracles and spiritual, supernatural stuff. And there was a little bit of a thought there that that's for grown-ups, not for children. Children don't get to take part in supernatural stuff. They have to wait until they're grown up and then they can do it. And I think that's sort of milling around in the background of people's thinking, and when the disciples were keeping the kids away. When they grow up, they can see healing and stuff. And Jesus sort of does the opposite, doesn't he? And he welcomes them into his presence. Just remember, Spider-Man, that's one of my favorites. When Jesus was speaking, the children he was surrounded by, there was a very high mortality rate. So the parents didn't expect the children, many of the children, to live. So there's very low expectation about that. And yet for us, we expect children to live every time, don't we? And if they don't, if we lose a child at an early age, it's a traumatic event. Whereas for them, it was the other way around. It would be, oh, right, this one survived. On the other hand, when Jesus was walking the earth, the value placed on children was really low. They didn't value children. They had very few legal rights, if any. Probably no legal rights in many ways. So he was looking into a circumstance where the children, you just get rid of them. They're not important. They don't have any value. Whereas for us, we've built in a system. We've built into our legal system a high value of children, haven't we? A lot of our family law orientates around what's best for the child. That whole legal structure that we built in the West is as a result of our Christian tradition, but very different from where Jesus was. But nevertheless, I think what Jesus was saying to them still speaks to us, because I still think we sort of default to thinking the children are going to distract us from the important stuff, and that actually the spiritual isn't for them. It's only for us. So Jesus does two things. He welcomes the children, physically, diametrically opposite behavior. He puts his arms around them. The word that's used is only used a couple of times in the Bible, and it's in these two circumstances. He puts his arms around them. He welcomes the children in. Very opposite to forbidding them to come. And he blesses them. And then he says an extraordinary thing. He promises them immortality, the kingdom of God. In the face of mortality, an unlikely survival, he promises them mortality. He says the kingdom of God is theirs. So, at Leeds Vineyard, what do we try and learn from this? How does that impact us? Well, it impacts us in two main ways. One is that we want to welcome children, and the second is that we want to imitate them. So very quickly, let me just comment on those two things, and then I'm going to ask Mary to come and teach the children about something in particular. Well, you teach us all about something. Children are not the church of tomorrow. Sometimes people say, oh, the children are great, the church of tomorrow. They're not. They're the church of today. They're the church of today. Just as much as me, just as much as you. And our Vineyard kids work when, you know, on a normal Sunday, when the kids go through to their rooms after a bit of time here, that isn't a babysitting service so that we can get on and do the important stuff. What's going on in there is equally the presence of God, equally the power of God. Jesus is in there ministering to them, and they're having conversations with him just as much as we are, possibly more. So we don't forbid them from approaching Jesus. We actually invite them into his presence wherever they are, in the building or outside the building. And we welcome them because Jesus said the kingdom belongs to them. And the verb there is possessive. It belongs to them. They have a legal right to it, is the way he's describing it. An extraordinary thing to say. They have a right to it, and he implies that we don't as grown-ups. And it's because of their attitude to Jesus. So we welcome the children into the spiritual life of the church, and then we imitate them. Because they have the... Why is it that they have this right to the kingdom and we don't? Why does he say we don't have this right unless we approach it like a child? It's a dramatic statement. He says, if you don't receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you'll miss it. What does he mean when he says like a child? That's not a rhetorical question. I want to know what you think. Pardon? Unconditional what? The children are unconditionally accepting, yep. They haven't got any preconceptions. They're trusting. They're believing, yep. Anything else? Does it depends on the parent. So those of you who are parents... Dependent. I got the right sounds, just the wrong meaning. Dependent. Those of you who are parents, you're looking around at your children right now, if they're here. What is it about them you want to be like? Yes, okay, well, don't answer that question. And the thing is this, as adults, as grown-ups, we've got some authority and power and influence in our decision making. Hi, Sandra. Are they? Go and talk to Peter. He'll sort you out. What do you think? Sandra's one of our friends. She comes regularly, don't worry. As adults, we have some sort of authority and control in our decision making. So we talk about the power within. We talk about self-empowerment. We talk about mindfulness. We talk about claiming our rights. You'll hear that all the time, won't you? Whereas children don't have that. They don't approach, you've said all the words, they don't approach adults or Jesus like that, claiming their rights, thinking they've got control over the process. They know they are children and they don't have the power or authority. So when you feed them, and when you clothe them, and when you give them a home, they accept it. Because they haven't got any control, they gladly receive it. Yeah? And when you tell them to do something, they're obedient. Apart from... When we observe disobedience, the only reason we observe it is because we expect obedience. Okay. The natural order is a child and a parent or a child and an adult do this, they do it. And if they don't do it, that goes against what we're expecting. Because children are expecting to be obedient. They haven't got the power to make the decisions and the authority. And it's that we think will help us get the kingdom. And Jesus says it doesn't work. Doesn't work. You have to become like a child. And all the words you were saying before. He's challenging you and me. If you want to get close to me, come on. If you want my presence and power, if you want eternal life, you have to lay down your control and your authority, your inclination to disobey, and imitate the children. I'm just going to pray now, because I think amidst all of this for us, you may be thinking, I need to go to Jesus like that. I need to go to him and allow him to bring me into the kingdom of God and give it all my stuff. So let me just pray, and you pray with me if you want to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm trying to control my life, and I know that I've put things between you and me, and I'm desperate to get back to you, because I know you love me and you created me and you died to save me. So I repent and I say sorry of all that stuff, and I turn back to you, and I just want to receive from you in the way that we've been talking, just as a child, your presence and your power. Would your Holy Spirit come and live in me? Would you transform me? Rescue me. Just like we've been singing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, do come and talk to me or to my wife Alison, who's at the back, or one of the leaders here, and would love to bless you in that. Look left, look right, look around you and see the children. We want to welcome them and imitate them. And that's exactly what we're going to do right now. So Mary, where are you? Mary, come and show us how to welcome them and imitate them. You'll enjoy this. Mary is one of our leaders of our children's work. And she's going to walk you through one of the things that we do with them sometimes. And this is for you. So the children have, by and large, listened very obediently while I've been talking to you. Now it's your job to listen very obediently while she talks to the children.
Can I ask all the children to come to the front first? Because I'm going to need your help. So if you come down and speak.
Yeah.
Sit. Do you want to sit down, Reuben? Or you want to stay standing? You can stand next to me. Cool. So, we're learning to imitate children. And one of the things that children are really good at is chatting and talking to God. So first of all, I'm going to ask my friend Erin to come and talk to you, because she's got an amazing story about where she's been talking to God and God being answering. So what have you been doing, Erin?
Well, I've been praying to God about my mum's tooth. And so yeah, I've been praying and it's been better. It's got a bit better now.
That's amazing, isn't it? God's used you to heal. That's really cool. Should we say thank you to Jesus for that one? Try to go and sit down. So, chatting to God is really cool. And what's really cool is that God chats back. It's really boring if we just talk to God and he didn't reply. Let's face it, if you talk to someone and you don't get any response, you get bored quite quickly. But what's cool is we get to have a relationship with God, and that means we get to talk to him, and he'll talk back. So we can ask him questions, and he'll answer us. And we can ask him questions, and he can ask us questions, and we can answer him. We can talk to him about stuff, and he can talk to us about stuff. And the Bible says something about this in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. So that says, God says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know." Now that means that if we talk to God, he'll answer and tell us stuff we've never heard before. Does that sound good? Yeah. I think that's really cool. See, because sometimes we complain. Has anyone ever complained that God's never listened to them? Have you ever done that? Yeah? Oh. Have you never heard him? Have you ever heard him? No, well, it says in the book of Job that God is constantly talking. Constantly, and we just need to learn how to catch it. He's constantly saying things. We need to learn how to pay attention to the way God says things and pay attention. Otherwise, it can just bounce off us. And we will think, oh, boo, hoo, hoo, God doesn't talk to me. He isn't real. And when we're just talking and aren't paying attention, there's lots of rubbish on the floor, isn't there? It's really strange. And we're just not paying attention to what God is saying. It's really odd. Now, Bex has been throwing messages at me, and I've been completely ignoring them. You've been talking to me, and I've been completely ignoring you too, haven't I? That's not very nice, isn't it? They're real messages, but I've just not been paying attention to them. So it's God's communicating all the time, and we just have to pay attention and catch what he's saying. So God made us, and he made us to listen to him and to chat to him. He designed us that way. Isn't that cool? So let's have a look at some of these messages, shall we? Do you want to open this one, Reuben? Should we see what's inside? You want to take that one? Do you want to open that? So God can talk to us in lots of different ways. And all of these messages are ways that God has spoken to me so that we can learn about the ways that God speaks to us. And this one, oh, thank you, thank you. Oh, yeah. This one says Jeremiah 29, verse 11. So God sometimes talks to us through Bible verses. And God often says this one to me when I get worried and really sad and everything feels like it's going wrong. And the Bible verse says, I know the plans I have for you, and they are plans for good. So whenever God tells me that, I know I can trust him. What's this one? So God can speak to us through Bible verses. And on this one has some words on it. And God can sometimes put words in our minds or words straight in front of us to show us different ways that he can talk to us. This one says, you are enough. And I was going for a job interview, and I was really, really nervous. And I didn't know if I was going to be good enough to get the job, and I didn't know if I had all the experience. And I walked through the door, and on the door was a sticker. And it had never been there before, because I've walked through that door many, many times. And on the sticker, it said, you are enough. And I knew that was God's way of telling me I was good enough to get the job. So God talks to us through Bible verses and words. What's on this one? What's on this one, Reuben? It's a girl. It is a girl. So God can talk to us through our bodies. Sometimes we get feelings or sensations. Sometimes when we walk into church, we get a pain in our body. And that's God's way of showing that somebody in the room has that pain and he wants to heal them. Now then, who can see what's on this one? It's lots of squiggles, isn't it? It's all blue. Sometimes God talks to us through our emotions. And sometimes, what does blue often mean as a colour, Reuben? Does it mean you're feeling sad? Rain? It does mean rain, yes. Also can mean that you're feeling sad. And when I felt really, really sad, I asked God to come and help. And he gave me a sense of peace and calm. And it worked really, really well. Now then, who can see what's... that one matches your top. It's a rainbow. That's right. This one is when I knew because God was telling me that I knew. And sometimes you just know something in your heart. And that one was when I was going to university and I was applying for them. And God said to me, yeah, no, you know that you know that you know that you're to go to that place. Yeah, and he put a rainbow over the top as well, just to confirm it, and showed me in the sky as well as in my heart. Now, this is the last one. Who can see what's on this one? It's a present, that's right. Now, this, God gave me a picture. Sometimes God gives you pictures in front of your eyes or in your mind. Can you shut your eyes and picture your house? Can you picture it? God can talk to us like that as well. And this is when he showed me a picture of a present and told me that he has a present for me, and it was a great surprise that he had in store for me. Yeah, that's how you blink. Sometimes you get to see it when you blink. So God can see us through our eyes and through our mind, through words and through Bible verses, through our bodies and through our emotions. So who's ready to give it a go? Who's ready to go and hear from God and have a chat? Are you ready? You look like you're ready, Erin. Are you ready? Are you ready, Reuben, to hear from God? Yeah, shall we try it? So in each of the pews, there are pens and paper, and we're just going to spend a little bit of time listening to God and seeing what he wants to say to us this morning.
So that's an invitation to everybody. So if the children could go back to their parents and grown-ups, we've got a couple of minutes just to use those pieces of paper and pens that are on your pews and just ask the Lord to speak to you and see if he gives you one of those things that Mary was talking about. Let's just all wait in prayer at the moment and ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us. Mary, have we got anything we want to follow up? Yeah, if you've got words and things that you've written down or pictures, we'd like to bring them up to the front and just give them to Mary. But let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us now. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. So wherever you are and whatever state you've come in today, just allow God to speak to you and to touch you. You may be here reluctantly, you may be here by the skin of your teeth, you may be here enthusiastically. It doesn't really matter. He loves you and he wants to bless you right now. Thank you for what you're doing. Bless your presence. Would you come with your healing power now for those who need healing? I just sense that there's some people here who've been ill for a while, not seriously ill, but just not been quite right for some weeks now. It feels like it's just going on and on. Some sort of medical condition which just won't quite go away. And if that's you, I think we should pray for you today that it gets broken and that you get. That you get healed today from that long-standing thing. So if that's you, in a minute, I'll offer to pray for you. Mary's got one to share.
I have a few pictures that people have brought up. So there's one that's a picture of a fire, and it says, "Sanctify my heart." There is a picture of a flower, and it has some bees and some wasps around it. And it says, "The bees are good, and the wasps has a purpose that we don't know." And then there's a picture of, I think it's a woman, holding a baby. And then there was also a picture of a man, and he was sat on a chair with two girls on his knee, and he was on a computer, but he feels like he's in hiding, and people are searching for him, but they can't find him. So I guess if any of those mean anything to you, yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to pray for you. So is anybody, if you've come today and you've got something wrong, I sense it's sort of like just the stuff that doesn't stop you going to work necessarily, but just makes you feel yuck, and it's been around for a while. Would you just come down to the front? We'd love to pray for you before we go. Just fight your way down to near where Alison is, and she'll organise some prayer for you. Or if you want to respond to any of those things that Mary has said, likewise, just come up and grab Mary and we'll get somebody to pray with you. Okay? So thank you for coming to the Vineyard today. Let me just pray and then we'll dismiss. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence with us. Thank you that you're here talking with the children, talking with the grown-ups. Thank you for everything you've given us and your salvation that rescues us. We ask you to fill us with your Spirit and send us out here from here to tell people about you, to share how much you love us and them. Would you come? Would you come by your presence and fill us? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for visiting the vineyard today. Oh, one more before you go. A picture of a boot, and it says, take great strides. So if that's a challenge to you, we'd love to pray for you too. Thank you for coming.